Well, hello, my wonderful and delicious and hopefully horny, or at least want to be horny audience. All right. I just want to talk about for a second before we get into today's episode. I just wanted to say I really deeply appreciate you, the audience, the listeners. Thank you. And I appreciate all your feedback and all your topic requests. So keep feedbacking and keep requesting, so that I can show up for what you need or what you want. And I'm very excited to do that for you. All right. Now, we're going to talk about not something so fun, but also a very important conversation. So this falls into our sexless relationship series that I've done many episodes on for different reasons. So if today doesn't cover why you might be in a sexless relationship, I'm pretty sure one of the other episodes that are regarding sexless relationships may cover it. We got like probably four or five more major reasons why people end up in sexless relationships. So stay tuned if I haven't covered you yet. All right. Today we're going to talk about being in a sexless relationship because of low sex drive. That one person in the relationship has a very low sex drive that could be caused from numerous reasons. And we'll talk about that. And how eventually what happens in the dynamic between the person, one person has a low sex drive and the other, and often, I'm not sure why, it's like this karmic joke, but it's like the one person seems to have a low sex drive and the other person seems to have a high sex drive. It's not even just a medium sex drive. It's usually always a high. It's like, again, cosmic joke. I'm not sure. Over the years, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of couples who come to see me because they're in a sexless relationship. So that's why we're doing this series. Okay, so let's talk about low sex drive or low libido. Okay, so low sex drive is like, and low libido kind of intertwine with each other. It's basically how much do you feel aroused? How horny do you feel? And how often do you feel that horniness? Now, low libido can be caused by numerous things. So it can be caused by sickness, can be caused by age, depending on, it can be caused by physical issues like dietary issues. It can be caused by medication that one's on. It can be caused by trauma that hasn't been healed yet. Those are the big ones. We got physical, sickness, trauma, drugs. And then the other is that some people don't have high libidos and never have had a high libido because of the physical. They don't produce the biochemicals in their body. They don't have a lot of, testosterone usually is one of the not the only ingredient to physical horniness. However, it's a key component. So somebody, low in testosterone, aging is part of that. Why that happens is, low testosterone levels as we get older in our bodies. Menopause is another where our hormones change. And so therefore our bodies don't have maybe the same arousal responses that they used to, or sex drive that they used to. And then you get, so let's break down the whole low sex drive in relation to aging. Okay. So low sex drive based on aging for penis owners often is a drop in their testosterone. and the production of testosterone, which, you know, happens. There's all sorts of reasons and why and how, and diet and age and exercise levels and ailments and genetics, and there's lots of variables. And I'm not an expert in any of them, so I'm not even going to talk about it. However, if one of the things, if you had a fairly, your drive was more active and it's slowing down, it would be a good idea to go to the doctor and say, hey, can we test my testosterone levels and see what's going on here? Let's talk about the vagina owners. So menopause. Again, not an expert. I'm in the stages of just the trickling, sticking my toe into the world of perimenopause. So as I get deeper into menopause, we'll talk a lot more about the effects of sexuality and menopause. But the bottom line is that one of the things that happen is our sex drive decreases. Also, there's vaginal dryness, which creates atrophy and thinning of the walls so then it's more painful. And so then we don't really want to have sex. And if we don't want to have sex, obviously our libido drops because the body's like, well, and the mind's like, well, why would I want to do that? It's going to be painful. And so again, it's that, those pieces, which again, I lovingly invite you, if this is what's going on for you, to reach out to a professional that specializes in menopause. Naturopath, you know, there's different variations, but there's like, you know, I would definitely go combo of, you know, the medical, traditional medical and natural, so homeopathic or naturopath, that can help relieve. You don't need to suffer. Okay. So I just want to say that reach out to somebody, find the people in your community that specialize in supporting menopause so that you do not have to go through hell during that period. Okay. All right. So obviously libido drops and then you don't want to have sex. So when one person doesn't want to have sex, the dynamic often happens that the other person may reach out and, you know, gets rejected, which then triggers their stuff and they can only reach out so often. And then next thing you know, you're not having sex anymore. And if this is your, you know, low libido because of aging, there's an extra belief system in society says that as old people, you shouldn't want to be horny and you shouldn't want to be having sex. So there's not a lot of like, that's not okay. We should really investigate that. So you'll have to advocate if you're like, oh, I would like to not be in a sexless relationship and I'd like to get some action. How can we do this? Which in the case of like, same with medications, right? A lot of SSRIs interfere in our sex drives. So you're going to want to advocate for yourself and say, okay, so this is affecting my libido. How can we increase my libido? Is there another SSR that's a little bit that won't affect it so much? Advocate on your behalf. Let's see what else. So we talked about aging, we talked about drugs, same with like, there's different, you know, drug reactions that may affect some diabetes medicine, some heart medicine that again, affects your libido. If you're on meds that are affecting your libido, talk to your doctor about, is there another alternative or what can I do? Now, let's talk about if you have trauma. Well, if you have trauma, then you need to call me. We can heal that so that sex is safe, sex is fun, sex is your friend, pleasure is your friend, that you can move out of that trauma place and start to enjoy. And because one of the things about being in a sexless relationship is it interferes in your intimacy and your connection and the vulnerability that exists between you. So that affects that intimacy. It doesn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be like, having intercourse or penetrative, sex or full out. But you want to have connection, you want to have physical touch, and you want to have intimacy. Without that, the relationship, as you know, is very lonely. You can be in a relationship and feel very, very lonely because there's lack of intimacy, and that intimacy comes from sexy time. Okay. All right. So now let's talk about what if you have a low libido naturally, like that's just your, it's just the how that works, and that you're really okay with it. And there's nothing wrong as far as you're concerned that you get horny the right amount of time for you, and that's all you want, and you're good with that. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. However, if you happen to have a relationship and you're in a partnership and there's no, and you haven't negotiated that, then your partner is feeling angry and resentful, and you're getting di more distant to more distant from each other. So that might be needing to have a different conversation about, okay, my libido is here, and this is where I like it, and this is where how I want it. And, you may want to have a conversation about opening up the relationship so that it's, ethically non-monogamous. So your partner may be able to get their, needs some way in some way, other ways other than, being angry and resentful of you, the person with the low libido. So here's what I see often happens when we talk about, the breakdown of a relationship that, hold on, we got to, someone found, he's like, he always finds his squeaky toys. My dog always finds his squeaky toys while I'm in the middle of recording. Please hold while I take his squeaky toy away. All right, the squeaky toy has now been taken away from Muddy. So you won't have that annoying squeaky in the backyard. All right, where was I? Okay. So we talked about opening up your relationship as a possibility. Now, here's typically what ends up happening. One partner feels like they're getting pressured. The person with the low libido feels like they are never measuring up. They're getting pressured, and it can feel very coercive, which doesn't feel sexy. From the other partner who's like, I really want to have intimacy and connection with you, and keep coming back to like make the moves and initiate. And the person who has the higher sex drive in the relationship ends up feeling like rejected all the time and not wanted, and which can turn into feeling not loved and not desired. And that can cause all sorts of self-worth and self-esteem and body image issues. And so, all the way around, this mismatch of sex drives can be very problematic. And the person who has the lower libido can do things to increase their libido if they desire to do so. But you may never be a match. You may never be at that satisfying ex connection, right? Where you get as much sex as you want, or you is the exact amount that you want. And so this can be a long-term, create a lot of conflict and a lot of disconnection with each other. So if that's the case, and you want to reach out to somebody that specializes in sexuality, like myself, where I got people that I could forward you to see what can we do and what's here, what's possible within your relationship so that you can still have intimacy. Because having a low sex drive doesn't mean that you don't have to have, you don't want to connect. It just may be that you're not horny. So there's ways in which we can, again, one person, to come into it, to come into the middle where there's at least both parties are content and it'd be okay with where everybody's at. All right. So it's not hopeless. However, there needs to be a lot of like work on and a lot of compassion, a lot of understanding from both parties if that's going to be remedied. Otherwise, your relationship's going to stay in that sexless relationship. And if you are very unhappy in that sexless relationship and you feel like you've done everything you can, then you may need to end that relationship and go find somebody who's compatible with your sex drive. This is the piece that, you know, when all the romance novels and Hollywood and, we don't talk about that having sexual compatibility is probably one of the most important aspects of partnership, lasting partnership. And styles of your sexual compatibility, levels of your arousal, these are really important pieces. The kind of sex that you really get off on, these are all really important pieces. And when you have a wonderful sex life within your relationship, that and your needs are getting met in whatever capacity that looks like, whether that's being polyamorous, whether that's having an ethically non-monogamous, whether that's being conscious monogamy or being just monogamous, then it doesn't, as long as there's everybody's feeling content about it, it creates a safety that trickles into the rest of the relationship. There's a safety in it. There's a trusting in it. There's a, all right, when shit gets hard, we got each other's back. Because there's this connection, this intimacy, and this vulnerability, and this trust that happens only in intimacy, only in the realm of sexy time. So that's why it's important. And we don't talk about it before while we're dating. And we're like, oh, do we have the same belief systems around money and child rearing and religion? And those are all very important pieces too, but those can all be addressed and navigated. What cannot be often is your sexual compatibility. So, when if you end up having to leave your current sexless relationship, please reach out so we can figure out how that happened and what was the problem in the first place. And before you start dating, so that we can, make sure that the next person or people that you choose to have relationships with will be compatible with you. Okay. But I'm not advocating ending of a relationship. I'm just saying that you may need to if everybody. Can't, if everybody tries and it just doesn't work, then it's okay that it just doesn't work. And it's also okay that that relationship may end, but it may change the dynamics. You may become just best friends, and that's okay too, and companionship, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. And open and being honest, allowing each other the opportunity to have and connect and have intimacy elsewhere other than with each other. So okay. But there are many things. So the last thing I want to leave here with talking about is what creates our horniness? And I've talked about this in other podcasts, but I'm going to reiterate it. Yes, maybe that's not the right word. I'm going to recap. I know it's re something. Anyways, so where was I? Oh, there's three aspects of a sexual arousal response that are contributors to being horny. The first one is the physiology, right? So those are the things we're talking about, how many your hormone levels, your body, your medication, all things that are like sourced in your body. And when we have other things going on, and we got some physical stuff interfering in our ability to be excited, to be horny, and to be aroused. Then there's these other two aspects that we may need to ramp up. So, one is the psychological. So, our mind, our brain is one of our hottest sex organs. And it can facilitate and help us to get horny. So fantasizing, thinking about things that turn us on, really being, you know, in the possibilities, adding new spiciness to the, you know, sexual exploration. This gets our mind going and excitement, which then our bodies follow with arousal. The third is energy. So if you're like, oh, she's going to go off on a woo tangent, I'm going to go off on a woo tangent. You're right. Here's what I'm going to say. Energy is everywhere and in everything. And one of the energies that's, you know, very predominant, and especially in the realm of sexuality, is creation energy, or as people like to call it, sex energy. But it's ultimately the, you know, everything is created, and it's usually created out of humping of some sort. So it's creation energy. It's that life force pulsation that is all around us. And we can create it within ourselves. So there's, you know, practices like Taoism and Tantra, and there's many other sacred sexual practices all over the world. They focus on how do we harness, connect, create, move that creation life force energy. So those are the ways we got our mental, we got our spirit, you know, we got our energetic, and we got our physical. So if one is kind of wonky, we can ramp up the other two to compensate. So there's possibilities, but you have to want those possibilities. And again, I'm going to say society really reinforces that it's okay to not have a really good sex life, and that, you know, especially if you've been married or in a relationship for a long time, it's like almost like it's accepted that it's okay that your relationship, sex life has gone to shit, and but you're staying because of all these other things. Financially, you work well as a team, co-parenting, all of these things. I'm here to say you don't have to do that. You don't have to be okay being in a sexless relationship. There's many ways to navigate that. All right. And reach out. I'm here. And if I can't support you, I know people that can and help you on your journey of, you know, reconnecting your relationship sexually. All right. That's it. That's all. Definitely messed up my hairdo. just a reminder, all the videos, which, by the way, I look very cute. I got a little butterfly in my hair. All the videos of the podcast have been moved off of YouTube due to censorship and now live in two places, more adult-friendly content. So we have FetLife, which is basically kinky Facebook. And then we have Loyal Fans, which is basically adult content. So if you're like, oh, I really miss seeing Gaia. Miss seeing her smile and her twinkly eyes and what crazy things she's done with her hair, then that's where you can find all the videos. Okay. All right. Until next time, stay curious. Hopefully stay horny. If not, call me so we can figure out what's going on with you and help your relationship. And good luck. Bye-bye.